Hello and welcome to Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is a chiropractor, energetic healing practitioner, noted public speaker, teacher, and published author. This session will be an exploration in finding true balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. Dr. Eileen will be discussing holistic wellness through indigenous traditions from across the globe and across generations. We then invite you to call in and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen, and we're back here with Healing House Radio. I want to welcome everybody in and welcome our friend over at the 818 area code. I'm not quite sure where you are, so I'm sure Kina will find you. Kina, my producer, is hard at work, and she'll be opening up the chat room. If you'd like to call in, you can reach us for our friends in the L.A. area at 424-258-9337. And for those everywhere else, including right here in the beautiful Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. And also, as I said, the chat room is open. Today, I have something really special that I want to share. And this has been a project, a piece, and a process that has been working with me since 2005. And it is the subject of my very, very, very recently published solo work called Frequencies. To give you a little background, back in 2005, I had a lot of changes going on in my life. I was recently separated from my spouse of 20 years, and I was really, you know, in a big place of trying to figure out exactly what my spirituality meant to me, and really, like many of us wonder, what is it that I am here to do? I wanted to get a direction. I wanted, you know, feeling that this whole piece was a big part of a shift that just was trying to define me, or I was trying to define it. And so I went through sort of a transformational piece at a beach not far from, you know, where I live. I live in Milpitas, California, and I went to Santa Cruz. Now, ever since I was young, I've always loved Santa Cruz. It always gave me a lot of peace, and throughout my whole life, whenever I really felt like I needed to have that spot of quiet, and, you know, we all have those special places that help us to feel better. Well, Santa Cruz was my place. So I decided back in 2005 that in the last weekend of the year, I wanted to get away and just be able to find that peace and just try to use it as a way to let go of what I'm just not needing anymore. So I went to Santa Cruz, and I had some pretty amazing experiences, including I was sitting out on the beach, and it was the last morning that I was there, and I looked up and I saw a man walking towards me, and it was very early in the morning, and he was dressed in a suit, which was very unusual to find somebody walking across the Santa Cruz beach in a suit at about 7 in the morning. And I was just, you know, interested because it seemed almost as if he was talking or walking straight towards me. So he walked up to me and he said, "Can I help you?" And I looked up at him and I didn't know who this person was, but I just began to share with him why I was at the beach, all the things that I had been through. I had gone through the death of both my sister and my mother, you know, to breast cancer. It was just such a hard time in my life. And he looked at me, and we just started talking. And his name was Ben. And if by any chance, Ben, you're out there, God bless you. And he sat there and he listened to everything I had to say. And then he said, I really feel like I want to tell you a story. And he told me a story about, it's this parable in the Bible, and I sincerely hope that referencing the Bible isn't upsetting to anyone. But there was a story in it about, I think it was like the fifth sparrow. And he said that, you know, in ancient times, if you bought four sparrows, you got five. And that fifth sparrow was viewed as something that had no purpose. And the idea that, you know, there was value seen, or God or creator saw value in that fifth sparrow when no one else did. And so we talked for a little bit longer, and he shared a lot of things with me. And after, you know, a little bit, he said, well, I have to go. And he said that he and his brother had been driving to church, and his brother immediately stopped his car and pulled over and said that Ben needed to go out onto the beach right now. And when Ben asked him why, he said, well, I just have, you know, I feel like God's telling me that there's a treasure for you to find on the beach. And, you know, this was just such an amazing moment, you know, that I shared with this young man who, you know, he just walked away. I've never seen him since. And I knew that, you know, some special stuff was there for me to find. And over the next year, I did my best to try to, you know, hold that idea that, you know what, I am valued. Even when I feel like I'm that fifth sparrow, I still have value. So the next year, I went back to Santa Cruz for the weekend. And I, for those of you who know Santa Cruz, I stayed at the it used to be called the Dream Inn, and then it was the Santa Cruz Hotel, then it was the Dream Inn again. And it overlooks the water. And so I could sit on my little balcony and I could look down at the ocean. Well, I went back there the next year. And for those of you who remember, it was the night that Saddam Hussein was executed. And it was all in the news. And I sat there and I was watching it for a while. And I went into my meditation. And somehow the meditation shifted into a prayer. And thinking that this person who has done, well, he had been accused of doing all kinds of really horrible things, and as far as I knew, he had done all of it. But the idea that there was this whole global call for his death, and so I began to pray, and I prayed for him that somehow his spirit learned what it needed to learn. Yeah, I prayed not for the man, but for the spirit, and I prayed that the lessons of cruelty and oppression that he taught would not be forgotten, because if we forgot it, we would become cruel and oppressive ourselves. And I prayed that everyone he hurt would find peace. And that, you know, I prayed for the people who cheered for his death and for the people who wept for it. I prayed for everyone, and I sent a special prayer that every spirit choose love, not peace, or choose love, not fear. Anyway, I felt this really huge shift happen, and it was as if something opened up, but I didn't know at the time what. So the next morning, I went out onto the beach, and I noticed that, you know, I was just really not feeling like I was inspired to do anything or to see anything. I don't know why. I thought there was a gift for me. And so you know how when you want to focus on something, and you're looking around, and, you know, you kind of block out everything else. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I was looking in the sand, maybe a special stone or a special shell. Now, on my way up to the beach, I had felt compelled to go pick up a book, one of those blank books. And so as I headed down, something said, take it with you. So I kept going and kept going, and suddenly I not as much heard, but just had an awareness of, you know, we think dialogue in our heads. Well, this dialogue started up that said, stop looking down. You worry so much about missing something that you see nothing. You set your mind on what you think you're supposed to find, and by focusing on that, you miss so much more. Be in the moment and trust. You will see what you're supposed to see. Stop worry about doing it wrong. And in that moment, I just sat down in the spot where that happened. And I opened the blank journal, and I began to write. And what I wrote, it was almost as if it was a part of me, but not a part of me. I'm going to second, because it looks like in Utah, that we've got a caller from Utah, and I wanted to say hello. And so if you have a question, if anybody calls in with a question, go ahead and just put it in, kind of put it through, and we'll get you on the air. So anyway, I began writing down, and this dialogue developed, and the book Frequencies is based on that dialogue. And as I sat there, and this is really interesting for me, because this information, what I'm getting ready to share with you guys, I have held to myself for a long time. So if I seem almost hesitant in it, it's this weird idea, and I'm sure all of you out there have thought to yourself, it's like, you know what, if I share something this deep, I'm going to be thought of in either a bad way, or it's going to reflect badly on me, or we tell ourselves that story. So this is something that, by choosing to publish it and by choosing it to share it with all of you, this is a really, really important piece for me. And I invite your comments and insights. Anyway, so I started writing, and the first thing I wrote was, you see something in the water and immediately want to define it as something, a bird, a log, or some other object. Just let it be something floating in the water. Stop adding a story. And, you know, I wondered if I should be taking direction from, like, this unseen speaker. And the idea that, you know what, it's probably just my own mind. Well, then it drew my attention to a bird that I hadn't seen. It said, you know, well, if you look up, you'll notice the bird sitting there by the surf with one leg. And I look up, and I notice a bird sitting by the surf with one leg. And I thought that it's like, okay, how could I write it down before I knew it or before I saw it? I thought in my peripheral vision. But, you know, I didn't know. And I just continued to sit there and go into this dialogue. And one of the things that happened was a woman walked past with a dog. And the dog, you know, just kind of gave a bark. And the woman jerked the leash and told it no and smiled up, you know, like she was apologizing. So I sat there and I waited for this consciousness to make some sort of comment, and nothing happened. So I waited and just began when I began to think that, okay, there's nothing out there. It said, wait and observe. Well, a short time later, the woman passed by again, and the dog barked again. And so she, you know, tugged at the dog and said, he must want you to get up and play. Well, the consciousness said, notice that when the dog passed, it barked. There was no anger or threat. It was simply expressing itself. The dog recognized your frequency and resonance. This was repeated when they came back. The woman felt compelled to give the dog's behavior a story, feeling that it had acted inappropriately and that somehow we would judge it and, by extension, her poorly. And I thought about that, and I really thought that, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, this is something that was really important, because the idea, you know, how many times then we sit and, you know, we take action and we feel like we've got to explain something because we don't want to be judged poorly, whether it's an action that we took or whether it was an action of someone close to us that we feel somehow reflects on us. And, you know, it's just continued on. And, you know, this dialogue, this consciousness and I went back and forth with this question and answer. And it talks about, it talked about the idea of frequency and the idea that we're all energetic beings and that we are made up of these fields of, you know, in science, electrons, protons, neutrons, all these subatomic particles floating around. and that we all have a particular frequency that we resonate at. And the idea that that was something that would connect me to something bigger, I never had even thought about. I mean, I am, those of you who are empathic by nature, which means that you feel the emotions and feelings of other people, that frequency is something that allows us, you know, to resonate with other people. It allows us to be in that space and to feel compassion. It allows us to connect because we can match our frequencies, or the nature of our frequencies is to be able to find resonance. Some people, it's their nature to create dissonance. That is their frequency. And the idea of not viewing it as good, bad, or otherwise, it's simply either within our nature or we're not. And the things that were shared with me and the things that were told to me are just, you know, they hit such a deep chord within myself. Because the whole idea of what I believe as my reality and all the things that I ignored within my reality, what I thought of my own health, what I thought of, you know, the wellness of those around me. I became a doctor because I wanted to be able to help people and to be able to bring that harmony into their system. I couldn't put a name to it at the time, but that's what I was doing. And they explained, this consciousness explained, that when we're in that place of resonance, when we're in that place of harmony, not only with our own frequency, but with other frequencies, that's how we really connect. That's how we move forward. I was sitting on the beach, and it mentioned that there was a seagull right next to me. And I kind of just glanced over, and I saw that the seagull was there, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's a seagull, and it's like within arm's reach. As soon as I focused on it, I found sort of a separation, or I was aware of it as a separate being, and it flew away. And what was shared with me was that while I was in my moment, while I was in the writing, and it's not that I was sitting still because I was writing and I was looking up in front of me, but because my energy was in a place where I was so into the environment, I was into the beach, I was into the sound of the water, that I was no longer a separate event in that scene. And the seagull came close. Yet when I stepped out of that and I became a separate event, when I lost the flow of that frequency of the space, that's when the seagull realized that I was not of it. I was not connected to that space. And, you know, in the wild, animals and everything, you know, animals, plants, everything that are a part of that larger frequency, it's either you're a part of it or you're not. And in that moment when I separated myself by becoming energetically, it's like, okay, I'm here and the seagull is there, that's when it recognized that I was no longer a part of that, and it flew away. And it just really, the concepts that come out, the idea that we are energy, we are this, and I'm sure that, you know, people have always talked about it, and that energetic fields and, you know, and spiritual energy and all of that stuff, you know, there's been lots and lots of discussion on that, lots and lots of study into that. And the idea that there is a base frequency that connects us all, whether it's in resonance or whether it's in dissonance, it's something that we all connect with. And the idea, it's sort of like being in a room full of radios. And each radio is tuned to a different channel. You can turn all of them off except for one, and then you can focus in on that. Or you can turn the dial up and, you know, change from that one to another one. And the idea that we can consciously choose to focus in on a particular frequency. I had no idea that that's what I was doing as I worked with people, worked with my patients. They become the most important thing. They become the single solitary thing in that time space that I'm concerned about. I pick up each little nuance of You know, as a chiropractor, it involves palpation, checking the spine, feeling for each little tightening of a muscle that would give me a clue as to which way the alignment was going. But for that time, that person, that patient, is the only person in the world to me. And in doing that and not realizing that that was a part of this training, to be able to focus in on one frequency at a time and to bring that one out, as opposed to just having this big, huge mass of noise. So I really am just, you know, very honored that I was able to receive all this information and that it was something that I'm able to share. Because I, you know, like I said, this happened, the first time I went to the beach was in 2005. This happened in 2006. And since 2006, I've sat on this information because I didn't know how to present it. My whole feeling was, wait a minute, this is not, you know, this is so much bigger than me. And the insights that I received were just amazing. And even subtle things. One of the things, at one point, I realized I was hungry and I hadn't eaten. And I didn't want to break, I was worried about breaking that connection, but I was told, go ahead, nourish yourself, don't worry, you won't miss anything. And the interesting part was that I was left with the instruction, just pay attention to what you're doing and what you're eating. Focus to the exclusion of all else on your meal, which I thought was a very odd thing to hear. But, you know, and I put it out there that for the most part, when we eat, we don't really pay attention to it, or, you know, maybe something that's really good. But the idea of actually focusing your attention and bringing all your awareness on what you're eating and not adding good, bad, or anything like that to it, but just going and saying, okay, I'm going to focus. And that turned out to be tremendously hard because I was in a restaurant, there were people around me, and it seemed as soon as I decided, all right, I'm going to focus on nothing but the texture of the food and the taste and the smell and the sound and everything. Once I decided to do that, it seemed like everything was determined to draw my attention away. Even if I had a stray thought, I would make myself come back into focus on just the experience of eating. And it was just amazing because I realized, you know, textures. I realized, you know, I hadn't thought about what I was eating for a very long time. And a lot of us have a very bad relationship with food. And one of the things that, you know, I became aware of is that, you know, I say grace before I eat. I put out that prayer. I give thanks. And then, you know, I may spend the rest of the meal going, oh, man, I really shouldn't be eating this. Oh, this is so bad for me. Oh, this is this. How could I ask for a blessing and how can I give thanks for food that through the rest of the meal I'm saying, wow, you know, I really shouldn't be eating this? Or, you know, judging myself. You know, what does that do for that intention? What does that do to me physically? That suddenly now it's not about being grateful for what I'm eating. It's about, you know, somehow devaluing it and devaluing myself. I just really was overwhelmed by some of the things that came in, and, you know, they're all in the book. And one of the things from the book that I do want to share is this idea. I was given sort of a visual, and it was described to me, about the idea of walking along and carrying stones and picking up these stones. And stones represent those things in our life that don't serve us. And it's like I walk along and, you know, and it's like this stone, I'll pick it up and I'll put it in my arms and I'll be carrying it. And everybody else, you know, I look around and there's many, many other people and they're carrying stones, my friends, my family. And as I walk along, you know, sometimes I'll drop one. It's like, okay, I don't need that. But how many times did I go back and pick it up again? Or how many times did I walk away from it only to pick up another one that was just as heavy and had the exact same nature? And I move along and I'm carrying these things around and I'm bearing these burdens, and as if it somehow, you know, makes me a better person. And the idea that, you know, I'll have people in my life who come up to me and say, you know what, if you carry these stones for me, then I'll come back later and I'll carry them for you. And, you know, yet when I go to them with the stones and say, you know what, you know, yours and mine are kind of heavy. Can you go ahead and take them back? It's like, oh, but you're so much better at carrying those stones than I am. And so then it feeds my ego that they need me. And I go into that place of, well, that's okay, I'm strong, and they tell me how strong I am. But then I see them, and they walk off. And, you know, they're all light. And then they start picking up more stones. And then they want me to carry those. And how many people in our lives are we doing that for? That it takes a physical, it takes an emotional, it takes, you know, an energetic toll on us. And one of the things that I was told was that, you know, if you carry all these things, it's by choice. And that there is no virtue in being able to stand up to suffering when it's self-imposed. And that when, you know, if we take stuff onto ourselves, you know, it's not about enduring suffering because it's suffering that we choose. It's, you know, there's a lot of pain that we cannot choose. I lost both my mother and my sister to breast cancer. And, you know, that was hard. And in some, you know, some people say it's like, well, you know, somehow they chose that. It was their karma. I don't understand all that. I don't know all that. All I know is that two people I loved passed in a really, really hard way. And, in fact, it was about a couple of weeks after my sister's funeral that my mother found the lump in her breast. And seeing that and knowing that and feeling that and experiencing that was just something that was very, you know, deep for me, because then it became my fear and it became my reality. And, in fact, before that first trip to Santa Cruz in 2005, I had a biopsy that came up positive. And I went through probably one of the hardest times because I had just separated. So I felt that, you know, since I was the one who took care of everybody else, there would be no one there to take care of me. And it was horrifying and it was terrifying. And I was so blessed to have people around me who would not allow me to spiral into that place of, you know, maybe even manifesting that into being something more. The trick was I had to give up my attachment to the outcome. I had to accept that no matter what that biopsy said, I was going to be okay. And I was able to find that. And it was amazing for me. And then I went from there into that first experience. And, you know, I talk more about it in the book. But the idea that we are so much more, we're connected to so much more. And I just hope that, you know, anyone who would be interested in it, take a look at it. So we're almost out of time. And you can find the book, information about it, at frequenciesthebook.com. And it's all in one word, Frequencies the Book. And you can also find out more stuff about me. And you can find out about, you know, the type of work I do. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, then you can find out through the site. You can also find information about me at healinghouse.com or the-healing-house.com. That's my professional site here in the Bay Area. So thank you for letting me share that. Thank you for being with me. Thank you, Utah. Thank you, L.A. And I just hope that each one of you find blessings and wonderful stuff this week. We will see you next week. And I hope that just everything resonates for you and you find harmony and peace within yourself. And if you're interested in any of my local stuff, like I said, I'm here at the Center for Creative Living in San Jose, California. And you can find me through my website. So if you have any other questions, you can plug into the chat line or stay on the line if you would like to speak. Everyone, take care. Have a wonderful, blessed day. And thank you so much for being a part of what I'm launching, which is something so tremendously important for me, and I hope everyone else gets something out of it. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio, and we will see you next week.